Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important task, important work, because you are spreading a very positive message.
I was really moved by last week's show because we made a commitment to a worldwide event to try to change consciousness.
I'm feeling enormous energy around this show, just enormous. I really have to hand it to you, Nicole. You've created sort of a niche of amazing connections. It's just like the angels and the devatas that are like attracted to News for the Soul is amazing.
Hello, everybody. This is Damian Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Enfoldment. This is News for the Soul.
Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul. Be open in your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Sacred Transformations with Dakara Keys. Dakara is a gifted intuitive healer that specializes in clearing core issues and blocks that hold you back from stepping into your true power, passion, and purpose. It's time for you to transform the very essence of your being into a radiant and magnificent beacon of light. Welcome, Dakara, back to News for the Soul.
Yeah, let's get those transformations going for today. Dakara, how are you?
Hi, I'm much better. How about you, Nicole?
Also getting on the other side of things.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to apologize up front if I still have a little cough periodically through the show. That's the last trail end of this that I'm working on. So I'm just going to say sorry up front. You know, a lot of times the coughing is me processing other people's energy, but in all honesty, there could be some of that today, but there's also, you know, the tail end of this respiratory challenge. So, mm-hmm. Anyway. So I'm glad to hear you're feeling better, too. Yay!
Yay.
I think this respiratory stuff, at least in the Pacific Northwest, has been giving lots of people opportunities to shift and change. And this kind of came on right after the solar eclipse for me. And then we've just had this huge lunar eclipse, super moon, blood moon, the fourth blood moon, the end of the triad. So it's like all of this powerful energy is coming onto the planet, and
all
it's bringing up stuff for everyone to maybe just acknowledge and let go. We're really in that letting go phase, and you know, I just want people to know they're not alone. You know, we're all having our own human experiences, and we're all just navigating, I think, the best that we know how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that knowing that you're not alone is so huge.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, I mean, whether you've got a really – I've seen a lot of health challenges come up with my clients and others around me in my life. So it's like whether you've got a really severe health challenge, know that this is just providing a way for you to process through, to look at the root core of that, and to push through it. And a lot of times when we get in and we clear the energies and the emotions behind something, then, you know, whatever the challenge is. I mean, I have friends that are in the hospital on chemotherapy for leukemia right now. I mean, there's just a plethora of different things going on that I'm observing, you know, in the outside world. And and then for some, it's, you know, the respiratory or the whatever. I'm looking at it like, okay, good. I mean, I haven't had like a cold or a respiratory thing in over a couple of years. So I'm like, wow, maybe I'm getting it out of the way before winter gets here.
Mm.
and processing, you know, letting stuff go. So, okay, so today I wanted to talk about clarity. So on a previous show, we talked about how indecision, the energy of indecision, can really kind of overshadow us and keep us stuck. So another piece of that is about being clear and what might be holding us back from having that clarity. So I thought maybe we'd do a little sixth chakra, you know, third eye cleansing today, and kind of bringing in some strength and some balance energy for everyone. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see what live callers, you know, questions they may have, or we'll just see how it goes. Go with the flow.
Okay. Perfect.
So I'm going to give just kind of brief overview of one of the main healing modalities that I work with. It's called Heart Point Technique, and it's essentially working with the light. So it's like being that alchemist of the light and calling forth what's needed. And the beautiful thing with working with energy, I mean, some modalities are very finite and strict, and you have to do it a certain protocol. That's never been Dakar Keys on planet Earth, because I just don't roll that way. And that's probably why with some of the wonderful modalities that are out there, I've just kind of like pulled back, like, not for me, because I need to go by my intuition and what I'm being shown in the moment, not by some, you know, strict regimen rules. And that's why I so resonated with Heart Point Technique, because it's really working with the light, working with Divine Mother, and, you know, calling in all the other guides, you know, whatever I'm being guided to bring in. And I always work from a place of sacred space, and I've already set that space up. I refer to it as the meadow. So I'm going to invite everybody into the meadow, and then I'll kind of give some brief information about Heart Point Technique and or just what we're doing today. Excuse me. And I want everybody, as long as you're not driving heavy equipment or a vehicle, to close your eyes and just imagine walking into a beautiful meadow, any season of the year that calls to your heart, whether it's in the northern hemisphere fall or in the southern spring or summer or winter. And just take a deep breath as you step into a beautiful rainbow-colored waterfall of light. And just allow yourself, maybe extend your arms and allow yourself to just bask in that rainbow light as it pours down around you, washing off the mundane world, cleansing and clearing your field, bringing you into the present moment. Then imagine stepping out the back of that waterfall, like that secret exit point, and focus on the base of your spine as we send a beautiful grounding cord of light all the way down to the center of Mother Earth, tapping into her wellspring of healing light and bringing that light up that grounding cord through the base of your spine right up into the center of your heart, allowing it to commingle with your heart's energy as we now move that energy in an infinity loop up over to the left, down and around, up over to the right. Then we're going to send that energy up out your crown, sending it all the way up to source, connecting and looping through source, bringing source back down through your crown, right down into the center of your heart. And allowing that energy now to create a figure eight from the base of your spine to the crown of your head, moving that energy. And then we're going to loop in that infinity, connecting us into the energy of pure love. There we go. Just allowing that energy to flow, having you grounded, connected to Mother Earth and to Source. And as you look around the meadow, you'll see a beautiful wall of shimmery, healing, protective light around the outer edge of the meadow. And I called in the High Council of Light today and all of the big guns. So basically, you may just see like a ring of angels and ascended masters and beings all around the outer edge, just holding space, observing, and witnessing your sacred transformation today. So in Heart Point Technique, the points that we work with are the high self point, 18 to 24 inches above the head, the crown chakra, top of your head, and then there's eye points. And we'll do a quick tapping. I'm being guided to do a tapping today to come into to balance, and this is a great tool. I've shared it on some of the previous shows. And then, so we'll go through the eye points as we do the tapping. Then we focus on the midbrain. And even though this wasn't an initial part of heart point technique, working with the midbrain, which consists of the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, the hypothalamus, and parts of the brain connecting into the brainstem, this is a place of manifestation. So when we're bringing in light and chanting into the midbrain, we're creating a vibrational, magnetized sometimes, field of how we're attracting and drawing things into our life. So I do incorporate that. That's additional learning from Dr. Pillai, who's travels the world, but he has a center. And then we're going to focus on the throat chakra and the heart, the physical heart, because the heart is such a powerful tool. So we're going to bring light into the heart. And then the last point is at the back of the head where the spine and the head connect. And I refer to that as the consolidation point. So this is also a place where all the meridians connect back into the brain. So we're going to bring some light down for balance. So we're going to do a little tapping sequence, and I'll guide you through the eye points. Those that are familiar with emotional freedom technique, some of these points will be very familiar. So just start lightly tapping anywhere on the top of your head and say, balance, balance, helping you to come into balance. Then we're going to tap on the third eye, the center of the forehead, balance, balance. And beginning of the eyebrow, so above the bridge of the nose, balance, balance, just lightly tapping there. These are all meridian points that are connecting back into the brain, telling the brain to balance and to bring balance into your body. Side of the eye, so the end of the eyebrow, just lightly tapping on the bone there, balance, balance. And then under the eye, on the bone, lightly tapping kind of in the center, balance, balance. And then the tear duct points, so where the tear ducts on the inner eye, so right above that, just one side or the other or both, lightly tap, balance, balance. This is also a point where all of the meridians connect back into the brain. So we're telling it to balance. There we go. And then tap on the physical heart, left side of your chest, balance, balance. And then the consolidation point at the back of your head. So if you put four fingers together on one hand or the other and tap the back of your head, you're going to hit that point, balance, balance. And then take a deep breath in and out. And you just should be feeling a little more centered, balanced, kind of a little more peaceful. This is a great tool that you can use every day, any time of the day, even if you're in a place where there's a lot of chaos and you're not physical or you're not comfortable physically tapping and saying the words, you can imagine it in your mind's eye and get the same result. Okay, so let's bring in some light. Another aspect of this modality is chanting. And so many of the words that I'll be chanting today are from the Arabic language, the 99 names of God. The main one is An-Nur, which simply means the light. And then Al-Mukmin is the affirmer and having faith. So we're chanting that energy of faith and affirming whatever we're working on in the moment. I feel like we're going to be doing some sacred language today, so it'll sound very foreign, but it's very powerful in anchoring and shifting things and creating that transformation. So let's bring some light in, hand over your heart, focusing on your high self point. And we're going to call forth the light of illumination, the light of divine revelation, the light that's needed to bring our awareness into complete clarity so that we know what, with clarity what our choices are, so that we can make those decisions and step forward and step on to the next piece of our path. I feel like a lot of people are standing at a fork in the road, not just two options per se, but maybe even three or four, where they're needing that extra guidance on navigation and being clear about which one is most powerful. So we're going to call forth the sound, the color, the light, the frequency that's right and perfect. There we go. So imagine now at the high self point, 18 to 24 inches above the head, you have a beautiful glass pitcher of light, and your guides are just going to pour that into your crown with your hand over your heart. An-Nur, An-Nur, An-Nur. allowing that beautiful light to pour down into your crown. We're going to move it counterclockwise through the crown and into the eye points. Anur, Anur. And then we're going to drop it down and move it through the corpus callosum, which is the bundle of nerves, connecting both hemispheres of the brain. And this, working with this modality is a way to increase your psychic abilities, your intuition, moving light into that left side of the brain, that more logical part of the brain, allows it to open and expand to new possibilities. So we're going to move the light through there now. Al Mukman, Al Mukman, Al Mukman. And then we're going to move it down into the midbrain and let the midbrain know that we're creating a space, a foundation for receiving information and energy. Sada Shivom, Sada Shivom, Sada Shivom. All right, now we're going to drop it down into the throat. Anur, Anur, and down into the heart center. Anur, 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 allowing that light in the heart to expand into the deepest wisdom wells of your heart. Al Mukman, Al Mukman, Al Mukman. And some need a little extra bump with opening their hearts up more. Alpha Tau, Alpha Tau, Alpha Tau. Allowing that light to expand. And now we're going to send a beam of light from the heart right up to the third eye, the center of your forehead. So just imagine like a little spotlight or if there's a flashlight in your heart and it's beaming right up to that third eye. Anur, Anur, Anur. So just observe what you're seeing, what you're noticing there. On a scale of 1 to 10, how clear is your inner vision? How clear? And since we're looking from the inside out, even if you've got strong vision, inner vision, clairvoyance, maybe look to see, could it be even stronger? So I want everyone to tune in. On a scale of 1 to 10, how blocked is that third eye? 1, not blocked at all. 10, oh, it's pretty blocked up. There's some stuff that could be moved there. And just make a note. So we'll bring in some energy for everyone. We'll call for the collective energy package. But before we do that, let's cleanse the inner mirror. Because sometimes that's where the block is, or where there's kind of a veil or a few veils that are blocking that vision of being able to see from the inside out or see in your mind's eye. There's a lot of ways of looking at that. Excuse me. Cough drop time. Minimize that. Okay. So we're going to call forth the scrubber angels, and I call them that because they're like little scrubbing bubbles. They're very teeny tiny little beings that have a fairy and angel look, and they work in rings. So they basically come in spinning around, clearing, cleansing the energies. So we're going to bring in, for each person listening live or to the archives, a team of scrubber angels, and it could be several rings, it could be only one, it just depends on what you particularly need. Just know and trust that you're receiving exactly what you need to help cleanse that inner mirror, to help open up that clairvoyance, that inner seeing, and this can also help with your inner knowing too. All right, so I'm going to chant as we get those little teams moving and scrubbing bubbles, and sometimes I even imagine, like, I don't use those products, but, you know, you see them on TV where you spray it and it bubbles up and they have the little scrubbers. I like to use that image. I tend to use all natural stuff in our house. So, but most people have seen at some point that commercial. So here we go. We're going to bring those scrubber angels in to the third eyes. Al Mookman, Al Mookman, Al Mookman. Allowing them to just scrub and clean any veils, anything on that inner mirror. Anur, Anur, Anur. Anur, Anur, Anur. I'm seeing for some we need to just let them work a little longer. Anur, Anur, Anur. Al Mookman, Al Mookman, Al Mookman. Take a deep breath in and out. And this is going to sound funny, but it's what I'm hearing. Is we're going to spray a little lemon vinegar cleaner on there, just kind of get that extra sheen. It's actually something that I make and use in the house for cleaning. It's great on glass and countertops. So it's like, let's just clean that with that beautiful lemon and white vinegar blend. There we go, making it all extra sparkly clean and sanitized. And I'm going to anchor that cleaning with the truth. Al-ha! And take a deep breath in and out. And now I want you to get into that rating on how blocked that third eye was feeling for you. And it may not have gone down all the way. It may have moved a little. It may have moved all the way. But let's call in an energy package now for healing. So know that whatever's right and perfect for you, you're going to receive. So focusing again, hand over the heart, focusing on the high self point, and we're going to create an energy package with exactly what's needed for you to have crystal clear clarity in the third eye. And we'll call forth the sound, the color, the light, and the frequency, the sacred geometry that would best support you. And even though you may not know what all this is, your guides do. So they're bringing in that energy, that light for you right now. What is best going to support your sacred transformation and opening up your vision. There we go. And now we're going to bring that down. Drop that into the crown. Anur, Anur, Anur. Moving it counterclockwise through the crown, and then we're going to send it right out to that third eye and into any of the eye points that might need that support too. Al Mookman, Al Mookman, Al Mookman. Al Mookman, Al Mookman, Al Mookman. Now we're going to bring in some sacred language for each one of you to just amplify this awakening, this cleansing, this clearing, whatever's right and perfect for you, you will receive through this language. Si tola pa te naisha na lota si tola pa te tole acha pa ya dalo a se pale tu si la mane aya o si balati si tala e o tu pala da aya o se mane o te basita o se mane da o se ba ai o la pa hu ha pa. Take a deep breath in and out. That just created a huge vibrational zim through my body. Okay. So now I would invite everyone to just tune back in to how clear or how blocked that third eye is feeling for you. And let's bring in, before we take any live calls, let's bring in the energy of strength. Just to give us strength in connecting with that inner strength and connecting to the angel of strength, bringing in that beautiful, loving energy. And let's bring in the energy of like a big, beautiful lion or a big cat energy for strength. Agility, being able to maneuver, And I carry big cat energy, so this wasn't a surprise for me today. But what it can do is support each one of you in having the strength to persevere, maybe in the releasing of whatever's been coming up through this powerful time for you, or the strength that's needed to make the choice that you know is clear and right, but you've got some fear around it. So let's bring this beautiful angel of strength and this big cat energy. So I'm going to drop this into your crown, and then we're going to bring it down the spine and allow it to move through each vertebrae. And as it does, it will also send this frequency out through the nerves connected through the spine, through your entire being. And then we'll bring it down to the base and into the spinal column fluid, and then we'll chant it back up. Chant or might be sacred language, they're telling me, so we'll see what happens when we get there. All right, so let's drop this beautiful angel of strength and big cat energy into the crown. Anur, Anur, Anur. Allowing it to move through the corpus callosum. And any old neural pathways not supporting strength or you being in your power, we're inviting to detach and release, and we'll send in some scrubber angels to clean those up. And any new neural pathways can be open and activated now. And we'll move the light through the corpus callosum, Anur, Anur, down into the midbrain. The angel of strength and that big cat energy. And we will magnetize that energy in. Brzee, brzee, brzee. Shreem, brzee. Shreem, brzee. Shreem, brzee. Shreem, shreem, shreem. Then we're going to bring it right over to the consolidation point, as if that beautiful strength and big cat energy is just pouring from the midbrain down into the spine. And we're going to chant it down the spine. Al Mukman, Al Mukman, Al Mukman. Al Mukman, Al Mukman, Al Mukman. Anur, Anur, Anur. Just allowing that light and that energy of strength from the angel of strength and the big cat energy to just find its comfortable space at the base of your spine. Send a little bit out to the tip of the tailbone, maybe flicking off some energy that's not in alignment. There we go. And then we're going to allow this to move into the spinal column fluid to really energize and charge your body and your being with the energy of strength. And we are going to do that with the sacred language. Sontai palati sa mandutu sanalaya to se batea halatuta pati tamaniata o se bati salautusi tilamata salato sianaya. And then we're going to chant it up. Anur, Anur, Anur. Anur, Anur, Anur. Until that spinal column fluid touches right back into the consolidation point, sending that vibrational frequency back into the brain, through the meridians, into the midbrain, and we're going to anchor that with the truth. Al-Haq! Take a deep breath in and out. Okay, now I want to bring in the energy of balance with the angel of balance to lovingly support and supporting you in being centered and honoring your choices. So that's kind of the intention of this balance energy. So let's call forth to your high self points the beautiful angel of balance, the energy of the Egyptian pyramids, kind of adding to that strength. And any vibrational frequencies, we're going to bring in that alchemy again, that are right and perfect for aligning you to be in balance and making clear choices, honoring yourself and honoring your choices, bringing in that elixir of light, calling forth the sound, the color, the light, and the frequency that's in right and perfect alignment. And we're going to drop that energy from your high self point into your crown, hand over your heart again. Anur, Anur, Anur. And this time I'm seeing the energy moving in that figure eight, excuse me, in the infinity loop. And I prefer and always run the energy from the apex center point up to the left and around. Before, I would observe many years ago, when I would use the infinity, I would use it in the downward, down to the left and up and around. And what that feels like to me is a lower vibration of frequency, but moving it from the apex up to the left is a higher frequency and like uplifting. So we're going to move this energy of balance, and we're going to ribbon this infinity symbol down through your entire body, and then we'll expand it out into all of your energy bodies. So we'll just, kind of like that ribbon candy, that hard candy that they make with the stripes and stuff, usually around the holiday times. That's kind of what it looks like. So for an image of bringing that infinity loop down. So I'm going to chant that down through your bodies. Al Mukmin, Al Mukmin, Al Mukmin. Al Mukmin, Al Mukmin, Al Mukmin. Anur, Anur, Anur. Chanting that energy of balance into your heart centers. Anur, Anur, Anur. And we'll bring in a little mercy and compassion. Arahim, Arahim, Arahim. Aramen, Aramen, Aramen. And we'll just allow that ribbon infinity loop to flow down from the heart into the solar plexus. Anur, Anur, Anur. And then down into the sacral. Anur, Anur, Anur. And into the root. Anur, Anur, Anur. And then we're going to just bring it down through the hips. And that whole cradle of creation, so the pelvic bone region, just allowing that energy of balance to really amplify. Al Mukmin, Al Mukmin, Al Mukmin. Down to the legs. Anur, Anur, Anur. Down across the knees, into the calves. Anur, Anur, Anur. Right down through the feet. Anur. And then we'll anchor that with the truth. Al-Haq. Take a deep breath in and out. And maybe a stretch. Okay. So, Nicole, let's see if there's anybody that has a question or wants to share what they experienced through that from any of our live callers or people that have written in.
Okay, I'm just, wow, just coming back in the room and not physically, of course, metaphorically.
Right.
Refreshing the board here. While I'm doing that, I'm pulling up the messages and All right, we've got a few here already. Let's go with the first one is Leslie. not a question, just a comment. Love this. Please do this more. Leslie, we do this every second, what day is it, Thursday?
Thursday, yeah.
Thank you. Every second Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern with Takara on News for the Soul, newsforthesoul.com. And because our last show was actually not live, we're doing an extra one next week. So there you go.
And I think what I want to do is put out to the callers or the listeners now that let's plan on doing a live Q&A next week. So readings, healings, you know, whatever questions you may have, we'll just kind of make the hour about what the audience has questions or whatnot. So if we let them know now, they can be prepared with those next week.
Okay. So no process. You're just going to do individuals.
Well, we may do process too. Well, I mean, I'll definitely bring everybody in, but today I felt like we wanted to do more process after this powerful energy we just came off of, or we're still in the midst of, but people may have more questions. So I want to give more time next week for questions, I guess is what I'm saying, and
okay.
for live interaction, where there's not as much today of that. So, okay.
Okay, perfect. Got it. Next question. This one is a question. Let me pull it up here. This is from Tina. No location. Okay,
okay.
So she wants clarification on what the languaging is today.
The sacred language? Or?
Well, she just said languaging, so.
Okay. So the chanting are all ancient languages. So Arabic, Sanskrit, sometime Hebrew comes in, but it didn't today so far. And the reason I am guided to work with the ancient languages is because they've been used, chanted on the planet many times over some of them for over 6,000 years. So there's a sound signature to those that I'm tapping into and bringing in to help move the energy and move the light for everyone's sacred transformations. The sacred language is beings that are not on the planet necessarily or not. They're Palladian, Syrian. They're different beings that I work with that come through me. So I'm channeling that sacred language. Some of the time I can get a sense of the feel. And of course, when they're bringing it through more powerfully, obviously they're either serious or it's really transformational. Not that any of it isn't, but it's not like I can tell you exactly what they're saying. I can get a feel for the energy for it, but I'm just allowing it to come through me. I'm just channeling it. And since I've started doing that, I've channeled sound for a long time from the Palladians, and there's a little hookup process, and it's very loud and it's very powerful. A lot of people say it sounds like whales.
Wow.
It's about the energy of it. It's not about what does it mean, because we've set the intention, like when we focused on what we were putting into the spinal column fluid, we were bringing that intention of strength and the big cat energy into the spinal column fluid. And when you're moving that energy back up your spine, or especially in the fluid, it's like moving through basically the DNA, the essence of your being. So hopefully that clarified or answered her question.
So it's like channeling through. You're not deliberately using words that you're familiar with.
No, I have no clue most of the time.
Oh.
I mean, no, none. No, so the sacred language is channeled.
Have you ever tried to have it decoded later?
I haven't.
Or something?
Not yet.
That'd
I'm
be
sure
neat.
There's some people out there that will identify and know. I mean, sometimes it's even like clicking or clocking, like interesting noises that they're just bringing through me that, of course, I have no idea what they mean either. But what I do know is that it feels good, it shifts energy for people, and it's very powerful. And that's what's important to me. I don't have to know. If I had to know all the finite details of everything I'm guided to do, I wouldn't be where I am today. I trust. And I know, and people know when something doesn't feel good. Now, if I was doing that and people are going, oh, my God, that feels horrible. I feel like my guts are being ripped out. It'd be like, okay, well, let me evaluate. Now, if one person's saying that and the 50,000 others are not saying that, then that one person may have some other stuff that needs to be addressed or worked on. So, yeah, it just brings in a whole nother element. As the planet is ascending and we're all ascending, we're tapping into a lot of other energies when we allow ourselves to, and when we, I mean, I've always done interesting things with sound, or I will say for the last probably 20 years, there's kind of a whole little story, like my guides were saying, oh, you're going to start toning. I'm like, okay, that's nice. And then a friend of mine and I, we were going to go up over Stevens Pass, or up by Stevens Pass here in Washington State, and go hang out by the river. And as we're driving up there, there's, I don't know if it's still there because I haven't been up that highway for a while, but there was like this little tunnel that you drove through. It was old, you know, made of stones. And somebody in fluorescent green letters prior to us driving through wrote tone. And I'm like, okay, that isn't a validation of what we're doing today. Yeah, it was just hilarious. And so we got up and we crawled out onto, out, the river wasn't, you know, fast moving and stuff. So we crawled out onto some rocks and we just sat out on these rocks in the middle of the river and opened ourselves up. And I'm plating an energy at the essence of me. So I'm connecting with them and they're bringing this sound. And so we're just, we are toning and chanting and sending that energy into the river. So it's then going to go down through the water out and around the planet, essentially, because to me, all the water's connected. So, yeah. So, yeah, it's fun. But if people stay in like, oh, I'm afraid, or I don't know, or can I do that? In front of other people, or like the energy or the sound that comes through from the plate, is like, we were at a whole Ice Expo in Seattle. I think I had a booth that time. This is back in the 90s. And one of my friends was like, oh, do that sound thing for these people. And it was like the whole aisle when I did it just like stopped and they're all looking. It's like, you know, I'm not necessarily somebody that wants that kind of attention, but the energy and the sound of it got their attention. And they're like, that sounds like the whales calling. And I'm like, well, there could be some records, you know, of information, since whales are about record keeping. There could be information in the sound. I know that when I used to do, you know, hands-on work with people, I still do on occasion, but I don't, I mostly work with people on the phone and Skype across the planet. And, but, you know, on the occasion at an event or something, or a friend needs help, it's like if I do the sound while my hands are on them, it's just like whoosh, it just like moves stuff through people quickly. So, anyway, well, that was a little trip into the weeds.
You mentioned about the water, just a footnote about that. I had some intriguing time with Stuart Wilde over the years before he passed, and he used to do a lot of that water work too, huh?
Oh, cool. Yeah, and I mean, another, you know, little thing in my tool in my box is I'm a flower essence practitioner. I do custom blends for people, just tuning into their higher self. And I've made flower essences back in the 90s when I had my home and my gardens and the overlighting Davis of the plants. I mean, I didn't even have to connect with them. I could tell, like, okay, my mallow plant is 3 times its normal size, so I'm guessing you want an essence made this year. So I was guided to make different ones. I have a chakra balance line and different essences that I was guided to make at certain power times on the equinoxes or astrological alignments. And so that's kind of fun and cool, too, because it's just another way to support people in moving forward. And, yeah, I can – well, the website for that is dakaraessences.com, and if you sign up to be on my newsletter, you get a 20% off coupon, and there's a flat rate shipping situation on there. So it's very empowering to – you can take a look at all the different blends that I've been guided to create. So
excellent.
Yeah, a little self-promotion before that time of the call, but
yes, we'll mention it again at the end of the hour since it came up. See if we can get a couple more questions in there. So we've got Michael in New York, and he was listening at the beginning of the show, and you were talking about people going through chemo and radiation, and he's asking what this process can do to help people that he knows?
This process can help people, one, since today was about clarity. You know, I don't know if I was in that situation that I would choose chemo. I know that it's a lot easier on people now. I'm seeing friends, you know, or people that I know that are going through challenges. And but this process can help clear out the energy lines, the energy blockages in the body that may be a part of why they manifested their particular health condition in their body to begin with. So that's where this comes in. This comes in on an energy, and of course today's call was really around clarity, but then we brought in that energy of strength and balance, and who couldn't use a little extra of that at any given time in their life? So listening and working these processes is a great way to start cleaning energy up from the inside out, which is only going to support whatever medical condition they've been diagnosed with. And then, of course, going deeper, doing private work, or, you know, signing up for some of the other classes and things like that, that somebody has resonance with. I tell everybody, follow your heart. I'm not here to say, oh, you have to do this, or this is what, you know, this and that. Follow your heart. People know. And when you can be in a place of making decisions with clarity, you're empowered to step forward and start really making the changes in your life. And that's what I'm choosing and being guided to present on the show with everyone as we progress forward.
So can people ask about anything or about specific things they're working on the live calls today, or just about clarity?
I think, you know, we're down to the last few minutes. So if somebody can, I would love for somebody to share what they felt during the processes. If somebody's there, boom, yay. If somebody just has a question, I'm happy to answer that too.
Let's be in the moment with it. Let's see if we can get one caller on.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
First caller, you're showing up as all ones. You're live now. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Nicole, I'm out in the world, so if you got somebody else, go to me.
Okay, I put you back on hold. And I'm just refreshing the board again. It's going a bit wonky on me today. When is retrograde over on a seemingly unrelated
note? Let me grab my astrology calendar. We've still got a couple more weeks of it.
Oh, dear
God. And
then
the shadow.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, yes, and the shadow.
Oh, I've got to flip it over because today is October 1st. Okay, so go stationary direct on the 10th.
Ah, okay.
And
then,
right.
That's not too bad.
Then we're going to be, no, not too bad, in another 9 days.
Whew, we can do that. We can do it. You know what? I'm actually going to bring up this email question because it's pertaining to what you've already been talking about. And
okay.
So this is from Anita in California, and she's asking for clarification on the whale's purpose and the plugging in you mentioned.
So the whales, their energy on our planet are record keepers. So they, whales hold a lot of records, a lot of wisdom, and a lot of energy. So if you start tuning into working with the energies of the animals, and if you're really drawn to whales, then ask what records they may be holding for you. What information they are ready to bring forth. And maybe you are a person that is to translate that information or receive downloads from the whales and help spread that wisdom and information. So Ted Andrews' Animal Speaks book is a fabulous book. There's many wonderful authors out there that talk about the animals' energies, but I like a lot of them, but that's the one that just popped in, was check out, excuse me, Ted Andrews' book, or do a simple Google search on animal energies and then put in whales, and that'll give you some more. So the clicking and the clacking or whatever, when they have me make those noises through the sacred language, it's a way of moving energy. And I think if we even go back to, I don't know if it'd be in Africa or like the Aboriginals in Australia, but some of their language and dialect is in that clicking and clucking, you know, noises. So it's just another form of emitting or sharing information through what, and I just label it as sacred language. Some people call it light language. I think it could be part of that too, but I'm being guided to call it sacred language. So just like how some people talk about, you know, the Akashic Records, which I label it as that, but it's also to me the soul records. So it's just, sometimes it's just languaging. But it's all about energy. It's all about bringing in the light, the energy, the sound, the frequency. And sound, frequency, some people may question. Sound is, to me, what we hear with our ears. Frequency is the vibrational quality of that sound, which we don't hear, but it will move through our field, which is why I ask for both. And the Hathors, who are masters of sound, many times are, well, they're always hanging out with me. When I create the meadow before the calls or any sessions or any classes, some I do it in that, but not for the show because I want to use the time for other stuff. But the Hathors come in because they're masters of sound. So if it's sound that you need, they're dropping it in. So hopefully that answered that question.
And the second part of the question was describing the plugging in process you mentioned earlier.
Plugging in.
It's when you first mentioned the whale, something about how you got hooked up or plugged into a certain activation.
Oh, so it's a process. Oh, yeah, thank you for the reminder because I'm like, plug it in. So, yeah, and that's something that the way my guides are showing me that this information is coming down from the Pleiades. So I basically see a cord, and it's golden. It comes down into my crown, and then there's these, like, little cone-shaped, 3 to 5 little cone-shaped things that are sitting around that cord. So if you thought about, like, you know, well, like a funnel, more like a funnel. It's more spread out. I was going to say an ice cream cone upside down, but more like a funnel upside down that's on there. So that's the best that I can say, or what they've shared, is like, it's how the sound filters through those funnels that then comes down through my crown and out through my voice. So that's the plugging in part. When I'm working with that particular group of beings or frequencies, which is really where I started with the toning and the channeling sound, that's what it is for me. It could be that for anybody, or it could be something else. It's going to be what you're being guided. You know, how is your, what is your plug in? And simply ask the question. How do I plug in? How do I connect into channeling sound or channeling energy? Or, and sometimes we need activations. So that's, you know, when you can take a class or work with somebody one-on-one to be activated to tap into those fields.
Which would be perfect segue for a shameless self-promotion today.
Dun, 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 dun. I like using epic self-promotion. There's something for me about that word about shameless. I'm not shameless about it.
That's
I don't
right.
Need to be shameless. I can just share it.
It should be.
So, yeah. So I already mentioned that next week I want to kind of do like the phone Q&A, and if it doesn't work out, then we'll do more processes or meditation, or my guides always have something that they're ready to talk about or share. So, and then I'm going to add on to, if you go to my promotion page, there's a link where you can access resources of more about what is HPT. There's several recordings I've put up there for y'all on coming into sacred space, grounding, tapping into balance. I don't even remember all the different ones. There's several little short audios on there that you can use on a regular basis. And I'm going to add the Clearing for Clarity. I have about an hour class that I'm going to add a link there that you can go and access and just go deeper, being guided into the sacred space, similar to what we did today, but then completely different. We're going to look at, we wouldn't be focusing on the third eye so much in that class, but really going into where are you holding energies in your body or in your field that are blocking you from receiving that clarity. So maybe it's not about the third eye. Maybe there's something in the solar plexus, like a gatekeeper, which is a being that many times believes it's protecting us, yet it's really holding us back or blocking us. So you're guided through several processes of clearing out the energies that are keeping you stuck or held back from being clear with information. It is hard to make decisions when we don't feel clear about the information that we're receiving or clear about the choices that are before us to make. So in the call a few weeks ago, we did a little exercise about going up to the different doors when we're in that place of indecision, which basically just robs us of our energy. And but if we're clear about the decisions we want to make, then we can be clear about what's behind those doors or the energies and move forward to make those decisions to help us keep moving forward. Or looking at what's holding us back, you know, what energies or emotions, you know, for a lot of people, a lot of emotional stuff has come up with this eclipses. And a lot of us are feeling like we want to charge forward because part of that is the Aries energy that was in that full moon we just had. So just honor it. Just continue to move forward. Make that your intention, you know, to continue to move forward. So anyway, I'll get that put up on there today. And because that was what came to me right before the show, because I had a client and getting live on the show. So, and then I'll just share I'll put a link on there for the Dakara Essences as well. And again, you can get the 20% off by signing up. And if you don't want to be on my newsletter, that's fine. I won't be offended if you unsubscribe. I get new people every day and people that unsubscribe. So, you know, whatever. But you can get the coupon code and anything on the website, 20% off. And the listed prices, which are also really good. But there's like let the universe handle the details and how to use that by holding your intention, you know, taking the essence and just focusing on that for 17 seconds. There's a solar flare relief for those that are really affected, which I've been taking because we've had some major solar flares coming through and I was feeling it as pain in my body, so I started taking that. It's a flower and gem elixir, and the pain just was easing off. So there's a lot. There's a chakra balance line. There's all kinds of yummy good stuff and some stuff for pets, too. So there's my epic self-promotion for today. I'm sorry, what, Nicole?
Solar flares were causing pain?
Yes. A lot of people get headaches or pain in the body. When we have, well, some are super sensitive, so any solar flares, which are happening, but there's been some major ones. And when there's the major ones, it's usually where I'm feeling it. But I've had a lot of people that get headaches from them and start taking this, and they don't get the headaches. Because you can track the solar flares. You know, you can go out on the website or out on the web and see when they happen, and then it takes a few days for it to really hit the planet. So if people are tracking their headaches or expanded pain in their body and they look at solar flare activity and then go, oh, so we just had that major one a few days ago and now I've got this pain or this headache or this migraine. So it's just a way you can actually kind of pay attention to how this the remedy is helping too.
Interesting. Send us all that info, though, for your shameless self-promotion tab. We'll get it posted up.
Yeah, I'll send it to you and then I'll put it on the page too. Just so I can get it on the page today for people.
Perfect. Excellent. And classic retrograde style, of course, the board springs to life at the last minute of the show. Classic.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Much love and blessings. Till next time.
And to you, too, Dakara Keys, all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Back next week, New Pacific. Be here. Thanks,
woo!
Dakara. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Have a great day, everyone.
You too. Dakara Keys, newsforthesoul.com. We're back with more shortly.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Child. Tell me now. welcome. You're now tuned in to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. To have all that going on because he's here, he's back, and we're excited about that. Dr. Bruce Lipton, who you recall obviously from the What the Bleep movie and our earlier interview, which took News for the Soul audience by storm. Lots of rave reviews on that one. DrBruceLipton.com is the website, and his gift is bridging science and spirit, so let's dive in. Welcome back, Dr. Lipton.
Well, thanks for this wonderful opportunity again.
It's our pleasure all the way. Your interview last time was riveting, and we had lots of great feedback, as I was saying, and because you kind of connected a lot of dots for people. You know, a lot of people kind of go around thinking, well, I think there's something, you know, that's this goes with this and this connects with this, but we don't know. But you bring the science background in to kind of go, ah, there it is.
Well, for me, it's kind of exciting because I really wasn't into this field at all, and I wasn't spiritual. And when I started to follow the path that science was leading me, I was like in total shock when I realized, oh, my God, spirituality and consciousness are primary. And it was a big surprise because I was teaching genes and biochemistry and machine-like capacities of the human body, and the fact that there's a live operator behind it was surprising.
Interesting. That's when you were noting sort of the observer effect.
Well, yeah, what the research was really involved with was that cells are like miniature people, in that every cell has every functional system that we have in our body is already present in every single cell. So every cell has a digestive, a respiratory, a nervous system, reproductive system, etc. And when I started to dive into this, I was looking at, where's the nervous system of the cell? And of course, what I was teaching at that time years ago was that the nervous system was the equivalent of the nucleus where all the genes were, because the conventional belief is genes control the biology and therefore genes control life. And I, you know, was teaching somewhat the same kind of ideas in medical school, but my research on cloned cells started to reveal that the behavior was not apparently controlled by the DNA. In fact, some of the experiments that I did, I removed or destroyed the DNA in a cell. And of course, the logical point behind the experiment is if the DNA controls the cell like the brain, then if you destroy the brain in any living organism, the immediate consequence of that is death. And yet, when I destroyed the DNA or removed the nucleus from a cell, the cell didn't die. In fact, the surprising part was that it was carrying on with all the same behavior and coordinated functions that it had before I pulled out the nucleus. So, I mean, it's like I'm looking at it thinking, well, obviously something is coordinating, controlling the functions of the cells to keep it alive and in the environment, and yet it can't be the genes. And that's where all of a sudden I started to go off on this tangent to say, so where is that control coming from? To make a very short story is, after a lot of research, I was led to the cell membrane, which is the equivalent of the skin of the cell. And what it turned out is this cell membrane, which in the microscope looks like nothing. It looks like a piece of saran wrap. It's got hardly any visible structure to it. It's so, actually, the cell membrane is so thin that biologists didn't even know that the cell membrane really existed until the late 1940s when the electron microscope was developed, because it required magnifications that were available only in an electron microscope, not in a light microscope, to see that it was there. But the big surprise was, since the late 1940s, it was found that every living cell has a cell membrane, and that all the cell membranes physically and functionally are the same, whether they're amoeba or a human. And so when I started to track it down, that was the big surprise, because, as I said, people looked at the simplicity of the structure in the microscope and said, oh, well, obviously that's so simple, it can't be doing anything really except acting as a skin and letting certain things in and letting certain things out. Well, that was true, except they didn't realize that in letting certain things into the cell and letting certain things out of the cell, that wasn't a passive process. That was very active, meaning the membrane was controlling that. But looking at the structure said, yeah, but it's so simple a structure that we just relegated the membrane to a passive thing because it was so simple. The big surprise was that in that simplicity was elegance. And that's in this regard, that the cell membrane is the molecular equivalent of a computer chip. And so the skin is like a computer that reads the environment. On one side of the skin is the outside world, and the other side of the skin is the inside world. And the skin, being the interface between the two, becomes aware of what's going on in the outside world, what's going on in the inside world, and in its interface function, it becomes an information processor that reads, let's say, the outside world, and then adjusts the inside world's function to meet the demands of the outside world. Now, all this is getting complicated, except for the fact that a human is made in the image of a cell. And why that is interesting, because then from that parallel story, I would have to say, well, then the skin of the human is the brain. And in fact, it is. And that's from an embryology point of view, that the human brain is derived from the skin. And so we said, oh, well, it is exactly the same as the cell. And so it really reinforces the belief that if you understand how this membrane works, you understand the information processing or consciousness to a simple degree that occurs in a cell. And what's the point? And the point is this, is that the cell isn't pre-programmed by genes. The programming of genes creates a physical cell, but the programming of genes doesn't tell the cell what it's going to do, when it's going to do it, and why it's going to do it. It doesn't do anything. The genes just make the parts. We gave a little extra credit to the genes. We gave them the ability to control things like cause cancer and things like that. So we all walk around thinking about these little things inside of us called genes that are like pushing the levers and making us do things. And that was like, well, that was a misinterpretation, it turns out. And why that's important to understand is because if we believe that the genes control us, then we become victims of heredity, meaning, well, I didn't pick the genes, and the genes apparently control me, and therefore I can't do anything about it. I can't change them. I'm stuck with them. Mm-hmm. Therefore, my life, being controlled by genes, wasn't in my control. So that was the belief system. The new belief system says, that the behavior of the cell is controlled by the response to the environment, and it's sort of like stimulus response. But the interesting thing is, in humans, the skin develops into this elaborate brain that lies between the environment and the biology, so it's like the interface. And the brain reads the environment and reads the signals, what's going on, and then adjusts the behavior of the biology to match what's going on. No problem so far except for this. When you get to the level of complex brains like in the human, the brain is also an interpretation device. So when we look at the world, we interpret what we see, and through that interpretation, then we adjust our biology to meet what we see. Now here's the fly in all the ointment, and that is, well, interpretation is learned on experience and teaching and our life, you know, our life actions. So basically it says, well, as we interpret the environment, are we interpreting it correctly, or are we interpreting it with a bias, or are we just plain out misinterpreting what's going on? Why is that relevant? Because since the interpretation controls the biology, the accuracy of the interpretation becomes very relevant. If we make inaccurate assumptions, then we adjust our biology incompletely and inaccurately. And so all of a sudden, it's the way you see life that controls your biology. And that's really the fundamental resolution of all that research. It says we are not robotic automatons. We are adjusting our biology with our nervous system, and our nervous system is doing that adjustment based on its life experiences. And since that is the issue, then experiences that give me more truth about life then adjust my biology correctly. But experiences that are misinterpreted, when I adjust my biology to a misinterpretation, then I've misadjusted my biology because the interpretation was wrong. So, bottom line, it's how you see it, and it's what you believe about life that controls our biology.
Now, do our genes have any effect on how we're interpreting currently?
Well, this is a very important point because the genes lay out the structure of the biology. If the genes are, let's say, mutated or defective, then in the assembly of our biology, it's sort of like if there's a gene that's not working right, it's sort of like miswiring the machinery, let's say, okay? And as a result of if there are errors in the genes, then the assembly of the body is incorrectly assembled, and so therefore when I meant to push A button, B button got pushed because of the wiring got messed up. So I got to say, okay, here's the issue. Genes affect the wiring and the organization of the system. But here's the catch. 95% of the people on this planet came here with an adequate set of genes to provide for a healthy functioning machine that should provide happiness, health, and prosperity throughout our lives. And so therefore, I have to say, okay, 95% of us cannot really say that issues in our lives stem from bad genes, okay? That 5% of the people can say, look, my life isn't working good because I got this, you know, hereditary problem that I picked up and that it's interfering with my life. But that's a small percent. And why is that relevant? It says, well, the largest portion of the population cannot fall back and say the things that in my life are not working right is because of my genes. And in that particular case, then all of a sudden we say, well, if it's not the genes, then it must be the responsibility of the nervous system that is altering the biology at this point. And then we shift the effort or the focus point from a mechanical defect of the biology to a functional defect as a result of the way we're programming our lives. That's different for this reason. If genes are defective, I can't do anything about it. That's the way it is. But if the genes were okay and then I make it defective, then there's something. That's where all of a sudden I can put my hands on the machine and say, well, if I made it defective, I can also make it effective again. Mm-hmm. And I have power. And this is why I'm so excited about the new biology, because there's a tendency that we have taught people over the years, and people have bought, especially the lay audience has bought, that they're genetic automatons, that anything that goes wrong in their life, cardiovascular disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, arthritis, whatever, is a consequence of, oh, I have defective machinery. And it turns out, no, it doesn't look that way anymore. It looks like that our lifestyle is really the responsible element. And why that's relevant? Very simply, it's easier to fix and change my lifestyle than it would be to change my genes. So all of a sudden, rather than being victims, we get to realize that we were involved, we become responsible, but if we own responsibility, then we own the ability to correct our lives, put it back on track, and become the healthy, happy, loving people that the genes offered us.
So by changing our lifestyle, do you mean, you know, what we're physically doing or what we're thinking or...
Both of those, very much so, and that's really, really important because, just a simple point, the American Cancer Society, for about 50 years, has invested millions and millions of dollars looking for cancer genes, and this search has really been fruitless because there really aren't any genes that were really specifically causing cancer, and that genes were involved with the cancer, but we also started to recognize, yeah, but the person who has the cancer is some way influencing the expression of their biology. So all of a sudden, the point of focus starts to get away from looking for defective genes. And so the American Cancer Society, just about a month ago or so, released an extraordinary statement from my point of view, because after all these years of looking for genes, they came out and said, and it's a conservative estimate, 60%, and that's still very conservative, 60% of cancer is avoidable by changing lifestyle and diet. And why this becomes important all of a sudden is after all the years of people getting cancer and then we're looking in there as scientific sleuths, going in there trying to be the detectives and say, okay, what caused the cancer? Where are the genes and all that? We now back up and realize, my goodness, the person who has the cancer was pretty much involved with getting that cancer. It wasn't an accident. And if we don't tell people this and they're not educated in this, then they still walk around as victims. And what the problem, of course, is a victim, you can't do anything about it. But if we start to recognize, as the American Cancer Society has, oh, you're involved with creating this cancer, therefore, if the change the way your life is regarding activities, exercise, diet, thoughts, a very, very important thought, If we understand that these are contributing to cancer, then we will be given tools to work with that we can repair or avoid those cancers. And why that's just wonderful is because we are not victims. And of course, victims makes you helpless, and we aren't far from helpless. We are very powerful in regard to this.
So they've now come out and said basically healthy lifestyle, and that's it?
Well, they said 60%. Now, I'm going to tell you this. As far as we know, 5% of cancer has hereditary linkage, meaning that there are genes that will have a propensity to express a cancer that run in families, but it's 5% of the population that have the 5% of the cancer people are got a cancer because of a propensity of genes that were not very effective. But that's just, what about the other 95% of cancer patients? They cannot claim that the cause of their cancer was heredity. Ah, well, as soon as you say if they can't claim that, then of course the big question is, well, then what did cause it? That's when we start to go back and say that the way they respond to life, the way they live, and their how they manage emotions and stress and all these other things are very influential in initiating and keeping a cancer going.
Now, what about the? I mean, so many people in the consciousness path, many of them subscribe to, well, I'll think positively and it will not happen or it will go away.
I love that because that would make it real simple. And in fact, for some people it works, but for the majority it doesn't work. And the issue is, well, if I'm telling you that my thoughts are in some way involved with, you know, creating a cancer because of my incorrect thinking processes or the way I make a response, an emotional response to the stresses is inappropriate. Well, the issue about that is that if I say, okay, just change my thoughts, and I will therefore I won't have cancer because I'll respond differently. That is cool, except for this fact that 95% or more of our behavior is not from the conscious mind, meaning that less than 5% of our behavior in a day-to-day activity comes from conscious processing. 95% or more of our neurological activity comes from unconscious or subconscious programs. Why is it relevant? The answer is that the subconscious mind and the conscious mind are different in regard to power of, you know, information processing, like computers. Imagine that the conscious mind is a computer and the subconscious mind is a computer. Two different computers operating in your head at the same time. The difference is this. The subconscious computer is a million times more powerful as a computer than is the conscious mind computer. So fact number one, subconscious, million times more powerful. Fact number two, 95% or more of our behavior every day comes from the subconscious mind. So it says, on a day-to-day basis, 95% of your behavior comes from programs in the subconscious mind. The conscious mind, which can have the positive thoughts, works no more than 5% of the day with this very tiny processor. And the point is, well, how much of an opportunity do you have to have the conscious mind override the programs of the subconscious mind? And the answer is, well, geez, the subconscious working 95% with a million times more powerful processor, you just stand back and realize, geez, consciousness would have a tough time beating that. And in fact, it does, and that's why when people really talk about positive thinking, some things they talk about is willpower. And I emphasize the word power because what you're trying to do is take that small processor of consciousness and override the large processor of subconsciousness. It's not very effective. So the issue is, well then, what's the problem? The problem is this. My conscious mind can have thoughts of being healthy and happy and living in harmony, which is wonderful. But if I was raised in an environment where my belief systems that were programmed into my subconscious mind give me different perspectives, my belief systems I acquired as an infant and as a young child tell me that the world is not supporting me, that I'm less than complete, I don't deserve things, I'm not good enough, the kinds of things that kids hear a lot. those are the programs that are operating in the subconscious mind 95% of the day, while the 5% of the day you're thinking and wishing, please, positive thoughts, everything is wonderful, life is great. 95% of the day, the subconscious program is saying, not good enough, don't deserve things, you know, whatever those things are. You do the math, and the answer is, yeah, positive thinking is real difficult to change that, because it isn't changing the subconscious mind. It's just two processors going at the same time. And interesting enough, when you're doing positive thinking, you're in your head, like in your mind. You don't have to be alert in what's going on. So while you're doing positive thinking and you're using your consciousness like in a mind state out of body, in a sense of thinking good thoughts, the subconscious mind's running the show even while you're thinking positive thoughts. And if the subconscious mind has programs that are not in line with the conscious thought programs, well, who's going to win, conscious thought or program? And the answer is subconscious program is going to win. And that's why even in the process of thinking positive thoughts, you may even be shooting yourself in the foot without seeing it. So it's like, oh, big surprise that it just because we become conscious of something, it does not change the tapes in the subconscious mind.
So the most critical work, it seems, that we can be doing here is changing our subconscious thoughts.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. And we have to recognize is that the first 6 years of our lives, our conscious mind wasn't really engaged according to EEG activity. When you look at brain activity and you look at a baby just born and look at this EEG activity through the first 6 years of this child's life, you'll find that there's very low EEG levels. You know, and people that know EEGs, the low levels are called delta and theta. Consciousness is a higher frequency, a higher vibration, which is called alpha and beta. A child up to six is predominantly in delta and theta. It's not even in consciousness. Why you say, well, why would that happen? And the answer is real interesting, is that the first 6 years of a child's life is involved with downloading all of the information about how to live in culture and how to live in society, all the rules, all the etiquette, all the morals, everything. That's being downloaded. And a child is learning this kind of stuff with an extremely high rate of learning ability. As a matter of fact, a child less than six is really in a state of super learning, meaning when you're less than six, you can learn three languages at exactly the same time and distinguish each one as a separate language. When you get past six and you try to learn a language then, now learning one language is a difficult task. And so what was going on in the first 6 years, that was called super learning. And the point is, because of the low EEG activity we express in that first 6 years of life, a child is essentially in a hypnotic trance. It's not in a conscious state. It's just downloading. So whatever the parents are doing, the child is observing it. Whatever the parents say, the child is recording it. If the parents say the kind of things that you hear at Target or Kmart when you see the family pushing the carriage around, the kids are acting up and the parents yell at the kids, you don't deserve that. You're not good enough. They don't realize if that child is less than six, the child isn't acting in consciousness. It's just downloading. I'm getting a program. What is my program? Not good enough. I don't deserve things. Why is that relevant? Because once that program is installed in the subconscious, now I'm an adult 30 years later, 95% of my behavior is not coming from consciousness, it's coming from subconscious. Yeah, but if the subconscious program said, I do not deserve or not good enough, for example, then, well, I'm 30 and 40 years old, and my conscious mind is like thinking about, well, on the job, gosh, I know I could get this raise. I'm good. I'm better than most of these people. And conscious thinking is giving you all these positive thoughts. Yeah, I could get the raise. I could go on a vacation. All these wonderful things I'm going to plan. Well, you're thinking those. Your subconscious is running the show. Yeah, but what's the program in the subconscious? That one says, not good enough. You don't deserve things. Well, if that's what the program is, then the neurological behavior will have to be coherent with that program. If it says, I do not deserve things, that I cannot do things that will manifest reasons for deserving things, because it says, I do not deserve things. So the mind will create behaviors that will lead to the fact that, no, I do not deserve things. So my conscious mind is very positive, very involved with the fact that, yeah, I'm going to be very successful in this job. And while you're thinking those things, the subconscious mind is running the show where the program says, no, you're not. And you don't see it. And that's the invisible part. And people don't see their subconscious behaviors that are limiting and self-sabotaging. I'll give you a great example. Let's say you know a woman and you know her mother. And you realize that they're pretty similar, parallel behaviors are almost the same at some point. I'd be very careful if you say to this woman, you know, you're just like your mom. Back away, because she's going to say, what are you talking about? I mean, she'll be like in shock that I even said something like that. And the fact is, well, why should she be in shock? The answer is, when she's playing those programs that she got from her mother during those first 6 years of life, they're coming from the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind plays programs when the conscious mind is busy, like thinking positive thoughts. I'm thinking positive thoughts, but the subconscious mind is going to play the other program. But when you're thinking positive thoughts, you're not observing your own behavior. And that's the big issue. When the subconscious mind is playing its programs, it does so because the conscious mind is busy doing other things. If I was fully conscious, like Buddhist mindfulness, fully conscious, not relying on the subconscious tapes, then I'm running the show fully all the time with consciousness. But my goodness, there are so few people out there that are that level of consciousness that they don't realize that most of their lives are coming from subconscious beliefs, and they don't see them. And that's why it's a shock to most people when they sometimes see their behavior and they're looking and they realize, oh my God, what am I doing? And it's a shock to them because normally they never see this behavior as playing all the time anyway. So our failure is subconscious has programs running 95% of the day, and when it runs, we're not generally aware of it, and therefore we never really see our own selves sabotaging our own selves. And as a result of that, when life doesn't work out, their immediate tendency is to say, well, the universe was against me. And why is this a mistake? And that is because we probably were self-sabotaging ourselves, but we didn't see it, so we must blame something else. And that has been our history up to about now. And that is, oh, the universe is controlling me, and I'm just a victim in this world. And it's like, no. Unfortunately, even physicists are coming around and telling us the whole universe is mental. It's immaterial. It's mental and spiritual. And the relevance about that from a physics point of view is the observer creates the reality. I am an observer of my own life. I create my own reality. My mistake is that I don't see that my subconscious programs got involved with that. And that's where if I put that back into the formula, then I see, oh, if I was aware of my subconscious programs, I could change them. And by changing them, I could change the outcome of my life, the printout of my life, more or less.
So is that the first step, the first key to getting this crap out of there?